I watched a YouTube short where 50 Cent was talking about some of his habits, or some of the habits of his grandfather. Said his mother was killed when he was 8 years old, so he was actually raised by his grandparents, and they lived off his grandfather's income. And he found it odd as a child that his grandfather would take his check and give it to the grandmother every month, the entire check. When he was older, he spoke to his grandfather, you know, and he was like, why did you give grandma the check all those years ago? And the grandfather was like, well, you wouldn't understand it then because you were still a baby. But what happens when you give a woman all your money is that she starts understanding your affordability. And then you don't need to explain to her why you can't buy something or something else. She knows. And especially when you give her the responsibility of all the things that need to be bought into the house, that then sets the tone for her to understand where the family kind of sits. I think it's relatively decent advice. I think it made practical sense back in the day for a man to go and give his woman all his income, and then she would be entrusted to pay for the house, pay for the children, buy the food, etc., and maybe even give him an allowance from his money, and she'd manage the finances. Of course, we're in 2022 now, so the situation is kind of different. And for me, instead of just giving a woman money or giving a man money, whatever the case may be, I think we need to make it healthier to talk about finances. You know, we need to normalize speaking about money to our partners, to our children, to our siblings, to our parents, and anyone else, even our friends. I don't think we have a really, really healthy relationship with money, largely because a lot of us don't make a lot of money. But even when we make money, if you look at our spending habits and behaviors, they are not really healthy. We have a lot of debt. We buy a lot of things that we don't really need because marketing is always being shoved down our throats. I'm a minimalist, so I believe in living with the bare minimum. You know, I track my clothing. I know exactly how many shorts I have, how many t-shirts, how many sweaters. I have one hoodie. I have one sneaker pair. I have one pair of running trainers. I have one pair of slops. That's me. That's minimalism, living with the bare essentials of what you need. It's not for everyone. It's for people like myself. I know Albert Einstein was one. I know Steve Jobs was one. I believe Elon Musk has converted to minimalism. There's a great documentary on, I think it might be on Netflix, The Minimalists. You can check that out and learn more about minimalism. You can, what's Matt's surname? Matt Diavela, I think, on YouTube. It's got quite he's got some cool videos on minimalism, getting you to just understand. You can study up on Japanese minimalism, living with the bare minimum. Why am I speaking about the bare minimum? It's because when you look at some of our spending habits, you realize we buy cars, we buy homes that we don't really need. You know, it's yourself, it's your partner, it's your two children. Do you really need a 5-bedroom house with a 2-bedroom flat at the back? And if you say something to me like, yeah, but family visits us twice a year, Easter and the festive, my follow-up question will be, why don't you then rent an Airbnb during that time? If you only need a big property for 2 weeks out of 52, or for 14 days out of 365 days, then why not just rent during that time? Do you guys as a family of 2 adults need 4 cars? You know, do you, you know, when I speak about the idea of having a huge house, even though there's a few of you and people are like, yeah, but people visit. I'm like, then why don't you buy a Quantum? A Quantum is a mini bus taxi, a 15-seater. Why don't you buy that to drive around? Ah, come on, Fetu, but I don't. It's the same thing. You're buying too much house. Live in a 2-bedroom flat and a 1-bedroom flat. And then on occasion where you have guests, visitors, go and rent 3-bedroom, 4-bedroom place and have people come and visit and know that you only have it for those 3-4 days. Similarly with the car, have a 4-seater car. And when people are visiting, you can always hire out a bigger vehicle. Technology, the world, businesses allow us to do that. We need to have healthier relationships with money. I know some of you, because of health, you track your calories, because calories affect the energy that you burn every day. And if you're consuming too much, that means you're overindulging your body, and that's how you become fat. So you guys track your calories. Some of you track your steps. You want to do 3,000, 5,000, 10,000 steps maybe a day. I would suggest you do the same with your money habits. Can you actually quantify how much income you make per day? Even if you only earn per week, even if you only earn per month. But can you say, you know, this 30,000 works out to 1,000 rand per day of income that I make? How do I increase my income from 1,000 to 1,500? Do I get a better job? do I get a side hustle, etc. And then do the same with your expenses. Very importantly, have a daily budget. Yes, your house is maybe, or maybe your flat is 3,000 rand a month. That's 100 rand per day. So if you like, my accommodation costs 100 rand per day. Maybe my car is 200 rand a day. My food is maybe 400 rand a day. My children's school fees, if you break it down, comes up to 400 rand a day. Have that and then start working on decreasing your expenses, not for poverty, but for functionality and efficiency and effectiveness. Cut down on your daily expenses. Make sure that you have a daily budget. When you're going out to a restaurant, be like, I'm not going to spend more than 200 rand. And if you end up spending 400 rand, you'll know that you've spent 2 days worth of takeouts. That means on the next day, you probably can't go out then. Then you must eat at home. So do that and become almost obsessed, you know, with tracking your money. Because like I said, we have an unhealthy relationship with money. And the sooner we get a handle of these numbers, our money, our income, our expenses, the sooner we realize that we don't need that really expensive car. We don't need a house with too many rooms. We can downgrade. My children don't need to go to a private school that is 7,000 rand a month. I want my child to be a medical doctor and they don't need to be in this type of school to become that. They can go to a school that's 2,500 rand a month and I'll take this extra 3,500 rand and I'll invest it in maybe a property for them for when they matriculate, that they have a flat that they either live in or maybe they can rent out for income. Do the same with the car. Do I need to be in such an expensive car? Can I get a cheaper car? And then on certain weekends when I want to ball out of control, I can go to a place and rent out a nice Mercedes-Benz, a nice BMW, and then flex for a weekend, but then go and hand that car back and then carry on with my little Taz, my little whatever car that it is, because it's functional. It gets me from A to B. And maybe you work indoors or in an office most of the days anyway. We need to become comfortable in talking about money. The Jewish population is popularly known as people that discuss money at meals, and it's the reason why their money management is so much better than other groups in the world. I believe the Indian Muslims in South Africa are doing the same, and I think more and more of us need to get into those habits. Your children need to know how much you earn. They need to know how much tax you pay. They need to know your debts. They need to know how much school fees is, because what happens thereafter is that those kids then are conscious of how much money you make for them. They won't just ask for random PlayStations and Xbox. They won't be like, oh, mom, I want this sneaker, because they know how much you earn and they know their budget per day. And sooner rather than later, you can start training them to also contribute so that they're not just sucking money from you, but they're contributing. Can they maybe get a scholarship at school so that they cut down on your school fee? Can they maybe start a side hustle? Whatever it may be, making online content, selling things online, selling things at school, so that they can be like, mom, you know, I actually make 10 rand, 20 rand, 50 rand a day to contribute to the family. And in that way, they begin learning money management for themselves, which is going to help them become functional adults. When I had Pennell's Fish and Chips, Gandhi Square, close to Gandhi Square, corner Ilof and Main Street in Johannesburg, two people came to visit me. Greg Cohen, who used to work for Bayport at the time. He was a solid hookup from the Nando's founders, Robbie Prosen in particular. Greg came through, he came to see my shop. He gave me a lot of really, really great advice at the time. Later on, I'd send an email to Kevin Hedewick, who at the time was the CEO of Famous Brands. So Famous Brands has Wimpy, Steers, Milky Lane, Debonairs, Fishaways. Kevin Hedewick sent Roy Correa, who was the brand manager of Fishaways at the time, to come and check out my shop and give me advice. And Roy Correa came then, he asked some really hard questions that I couldn't answer. One of them was around my potatoes or my chips. He's like, a small packet of chips, if you're selling it for 15 Rand, how much does it weigh? Like, what do you mean, how much does it weigh? It's just a small packet. He's like, you need to know. You need to know if you're buying a 10 kilogram packet of potatoes, is it really 10 kilograms? After you've peeled those potatoes, how much do they weigh then? After you've let them sit in water, how much do they weigh then? After you fried them, how much do they weigh then? And then you need to measure with a scale so that every packet of chips, small packet of chips, weighs a certain weight. That'll ensure that you know from 15 rand per packet, exactly what profit margin you are making. The second thing that he asked me, which was really hard, was, what is your turnover, your income per square meter? I was like, dude, I know how much I make per month and how much my rent is. He's like, you need to know how much you're making per square meter, because there's a chance that your shop is too big for you. There's a chance that maybe your shop is too small. You know, are you wasting space by letting people come and sit? Do they need really need to sit and eat? Or can you add aisles of things that they can buy? Can you add extra stalls maybe for people to do some other business and income? If you look in the Joburg CBD, some of these shops that are rented out will have a small space where someone is selling cell phone parts or fixing cell phones, small parts where someone is selling women's clothing, and maybe at the back there's like an internet cafe. Those are people that are maximizing every square meter. That's minimalism, and that's efficiency, and that's understanding money. How much income do I make per square meter? How much rent am I paying per square meter? These are the money habits, you know. And I remember Greg said something to me, and he said, my man, if you're in business, you need to eat, sleep, shit your business and the numbers. And when I sat with Carlo Gonzaga as well, the CEO and the founder of Taste Holdings. So he founded Scooter's Pizza when he was 26. He brought in Starbucks. He brought in Domino's. NWJ Jewelers, he bought the Fish and Chip Co. I think for 70 or 75 million at some point. Brilliant business. I think last I spoke to him many years ago, he was turning over R1 billion a year. But Carlo Gonzaga told me that everywhere he travels with a camera, he travels with a scale. Because he was in fast food, he'd buy one of everything on the menu. And then he'd take those things, he'd go out to his car, at the boot, take out a camera, take out a scale, and take photos and measure everything. He was like, in the business I'm in, it's about margins. You need to know how many millimeters every slice of lemon that goes into a glass of water, how much that is going to cost you. You need to be obsessed with the numbers. That's how you make it, accounting for every single rand. And how we get to that is by tracking. Like I said, you guys have got these fancy smartwatches. You guys have got these fancy phones that measure your steps and your calorie intake every day. Today I did 7,000 steps. Today I did 4,000 steps. Do the same with your money habits. How much income am I making every day? How much money am I spending every day? And how can I maximize my income, minimize my expenses, maximize my investments, and minimize my liabilities? Shout out to 50 Cent and some of those learnings. Another short that I watched, this is shout out to Kulufelo Maponya, who put me on these shorts, was Fat Joe saying that he tells his wife and his kids every day, I am not P. Diddy, I am not Jay-Z, I'm not Sean Puff Daddy Combs, I'm not Sean Jay-Z Carter. We don't have that type of money. So if you see Jay-Z and Puff Daddy in private jets, if you see them in huge mansions, that is not us. We have a lane that we're in as a family, and we need to respect that lane. If your children want to live like these fancy rich people, keeping up with the Motsepes or the Ramaphosas or the Ruperts or the Oppenheimers, they must make that type of money. If they're not making that type of money, they must acknowledge where their lane is. They must know, no, we're only going to eat an 80 rand meal and not a 500 rand meal. My dad drives a car that costs 2,500 a month, including insurance. He doesn't drive a 15,000 rand a month per car with insurance, because that is not our lane. Understand numbers. Numbers go all the way to time. That's how you'll learn to respect time. If I'm meant to get somewhere at 10 o'clock, the GPS is telling me it's going to take me 30 minutes. I don't leave at 9:30 because anything can happen. I leave at 9:15 or even 9 o'clock so that I create that 15-minute, 30-minute buffer in case there's traffic, in case I need to pour fuel, in case I need to stop somewhere for anything. Make sure that you're punctual. It's numbers. Understand time. Understand money. Understand calories, kilojoules. Understand steps, and you will live a better life. Become a minimalist like me. That's Penrealism. That's my belief system. Have a great day. Cheers.